You're tuned in to Nerd Overload, your weekly show for video games, movies, TV shows, comics, tech news, and more. Sponsored in part by Creative Foundations, employing individuals with disabilities. Now your hosts, Cody Pinnick, Samantha Cross, Sam Dunham, and Josh Harrison.
In a world full of internet podcasts about geek stuff, we are the podcast that you need and deserve. This is the Nerd Overload. I am Josh.
Or Batman.
Justice.
I'm Sam.
I'm Cody.
Hey, thank you all for tuning in this week. We have a great show for you. You know what I'm about to say? Let's get into some stuff we've been checking out first.
Woo!
That sounded great.
I know, right?
Woo!
I'm like a broken Wally.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. I'll tell you, I can burn through mine super, super quick. I only have a couple. I picked up the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic. The first issue came out last week. And read through that. It's like it's the issue number one, but it's their second issue.
Because there was an issue
zero. They
had
issue zero, which is integral to the story of issue one. So I don't know why they didn't just make
dumb.
That's dumb.
Yeah.
Anyway, the comic's really good. It's written by a guy named Kyle Higgins. He wrote for Nightwing and a couple other DC books. And the story takes place immediately following the Green with Evil saga.
Okay.
Huh. So Tommy has just joined the team and he's seeing hallucinations of Rita, like
taunting him.
Yeah, taunting him, and it's basically a manifestation of his self-doubt in a form of Rita. It reads like the old 90s show, but it is drawn like it's modern updated, so they all have cell phones and they don't, you know, there's not nearly as many like sleeveless
outfits.
Yeah, sleeveless shirts
and bibs.
Yeah. But no, it's really good. It had a couple backups. One of them was a Bulk and Skull backup, which I hope they keep going. Because it's like they want to become Power Rangers and they're just to pick up chicks or something like that. It's funny.
They could do like Bulk and Skull backups that are more or less spy versus spy kind of like
Yeah.
Slapsticky.
Well, if the series goes long enough, they can get into Bulk and Skull's time on the police force, because that was a thing that happened on the show in season 3. They were junior detectives.
I remember that.
With Lieutenant Stone.
Yeah.
Lieutenant Lance the Rock Stone. Oh, yeah. But no, the comic's really good. I would say check it out. It's Boom Studios. You can probably find it because Boom has a tendency to put out a million variant copies of all of their books. Like, I think this one has like 7
good
variants.
Lord.
And in a month or two, they're going to start up a miniseries called Power Rangers Pink, which is about after Kimberly leaves the team and is gone for like 6 months and is contacted by Zordon to go on one last mission and has to get a team of like replacement Rangers for this one time kind of deal.
That actually sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds really rad.
Like Power Rangers West.
Yeah, kind of the Wild West Rangers where they had the you're talking about like Avengers
yeah.
West Coast Avengers. Yeah, West Coast Power Rangers. Yeah.
The Great Lakes Power Rangers.
There we go. Perfect. But no, check it out. It's really good. The other thing was for whatever reason I got a wild hair and decided to look up old cartoons. And I settled on one that came out in 1996 called Disney's Mighty Ducks, which it's a hockey-themed anthropomorphic
Ninja
duck
Turtles.
Super team of aliens, kind of.
You would think it would just be an animated version of the films.
Yeah, you would think that.
No, it's better.
But no, it's...
It's better.
Yeah, I guess.
Their main antagonists are freaking, like, dinosaur people.
They are space dinosaurs led by Tim Curry.
Yep.
By named Lord Dragonus, and it's spelled pretty troublingly.
Yeah,
if you were to look up how it's spelled, I'm taking great care to call him Dragonus, but there is an A in there. Mm-hmm. Very unfortunate A. Anyway,
it's like that Power Rangers Titanus.
Yes, Titanus. Yes. Yes.
The most unfortunately named thing of all time.
Then he fell into a giant sinkhole.
Yeah. But no, this show has a really interesting voice cast. Like Ian Ziering, who is most recently known for Sharknado, like the lead in Sharknado.
Yeah.
Finn.
Yeah. He is the leader of the team. And Jim Belushi is like the manager of the hockey team. Oh yeah, they also play for the Anaheim Mighty Ducks.
I really liked the cartoon growing up, and I watched it recently, like a few months ago, and I still kind of dig it.
I mean, it's very high concept. It's there's a bit of a leap you have to take because, you know, they have the a team of alien ducks playing hockey, and there also just happens to be a team of alien ducks that are superheroes, but the detective can't put the two and two together to decide that they're the same team. I don't know.
I don't know, that golden hockey mask leader thing is kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. It's weird. When you rewatched it, did you watch the first two episodes?
Yeah.
Okay. Did the former leader look like a duck version of Cable from X-Men?
Oh, the one dude's brother?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, he had the huge shoulder pads and the bandolier and all that stuff.
It was very 90s.
Yes, very, very 90s.
Yeah, but it came out about that time when there were all kinds of Ninja Turtle-esque team shows out.
Yeah, this
Cowboys of Moo Mesa.
Yeah, this was
Mice from Mars.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. This was Teenage Street Mutant Sharks. Ninja Turtles. This was Darkwing Duck. And the movies, The Mighty Ducks, were popular, so they wanted to trade on the name a little bit.
It was a triangulation of all these things.
Yeah.
I did, because of that cartoon, I did own a Mighty Ducks hockey hat.
Nice.
That I wore all the time.
Nice. But no, I mean, it's...
Of 90s cartoons, it's actually not that bad. There are way worse.
There are way worse. I will...
You can do worse mm-hmm. than The Mighty Ducks.
I'll agree with that, but the team is very weird. Brad Garrett was a voice on there, you know, Raymond's brother.
Raymond.
Yeah.
I'm a duck that plays hockey.
But no, interesting show. Just, if you could find it, watch an episode. I wouldn't say watch more than one episode, but watch an episode.
An episode.
You'll pretty much get it.
Kind of like when I watched Extreme Ghostbusters the other day.
Yeah, you just need one or two.
Yeah, I watched the two, because the first ones are a two-parter. I'm like, okay, get this, yeah.
Yeah. This is a show.
Yeah,
I understand it.
I own the whole first season of Street, or the whole series of Street Sharks.
Nice.
Street Sharks is hilarious, though.
It's also hilariously bad.
Oh, man, Vin Diesel loved Street Sharks.
I know. That video was great.
Yeah, look up that clip. It's, what is it from, a toy fair?
It's a toy show. Yeah, it's a toy fair where Vin Diesel, before he became a full-on actor, he was just doing spokesman work for the Street Sharks toys, and he was going around talking about, oh, man, these are the best toys. Look at them ripping up the streets and stuff.
And shark.
And shark.
He sounds genuinely excited about Street Sharks.
Oh, yeah. Well, he's a huge nerd. I mean,
he loves D&D.
Yeah, doesn't he have his D&D character tattooed on him somewhere or something like that?
Yeah, that's what I've read.
The Riddick movies are basically his...
Yeah, his D&D campaign that he wrote. Yeah.
And then, and actually that last Witch Hunter movie he did...
Was...
Kind of slightly based off some of his D&D stuff.
That's cool.
And I heard he's actually going to be continuing with his D&D with Vin Diesel, D&D with Vin Diesel or whatever.
The YouTube series?
Yeah.
Yeah.
D&D and Diesel?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah,
is what it should be called.
No, it is called something like that. But yeah, he did it for the Nerdist or something for a cross promotion for the movie.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it was so popular, they're actually going to keep doing it.
That's cool. Well, there's a podcast, Nerd Poker, that was done by Earwolf. It's a Brian Posehn and Jerry Duggan and a bunch of other stand-up comedians. And they had a long-standing campaign to try to get Vin Diesel to come on their show and sit down and play a game with them. I don't know. I kind of dropped off that show because with those particular comedians, every show kind of ended up being about the same thing. So I kind of dropped them, but I kind of hope
no
they...
It's no Adventure Zone.
Yeah, it's no... Exactly.
I'd like to see Vin Diesel on the Adventure Zone.
That would be
awesome. That would be the best. Whatever, his character interacting with Taco the Wizard. Oh, man. I love the Adventure Zone. That's such a good podcast.
It is a good really podcast. I need to catch up. I'm two episodes into the Crystal story.
Oh, come on, bro.
It gets really good.
Oh, my God. Speaking of Adventure Zone, though, Polygon put up that video of that VR robot office game or whatever.
Oh, I saw that.
Oh, that game looks really neat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was sitting there hearing all the little robot voices when you're throwing stuff at them and stuff. They all sound like Griffin's buddy bot.
A little
from the adventure from the crystal whatever.
Yeah, the Crystal Kingdom.
There's
yeah.
been so many VR videos coming because mm-hmm. it's GDC and
oh yeah, they're going sure. nuts with
a
that crap.
A bazillion
right now.
% of the new games are VR.
Yeah,
Which, I mean, some of it looks really cool, but most of it, like, you're not going to understand it unless you've got the helmet on.
Yeah, and you know what? I don't want to spend the money on the helmet. I don't care.
Yeah, all the helmets are, like, ridiculously expensive. I understand why they're ridiculously expensive, but geez.
But the what's the Vive? Is that how you pronounce it?
It's
that one's, like...
$300.
Really?
I thought it was $299. More than that. No, the Vive? I thought it was, like, $299. It's still too much for money.
I would pay that much for it. I thought it was more... I thought it was, like, $500.
Oh. I might be thinking of something else.
We might want to look it up.
Yeah.
It's too current news to be spreading false information about.
Well, the Oculus is like, what, $600?
Oh, yeah, it's
nuts.
Oh,
yeah, that's crazy.
But no, I saw this one VR game I wanted to play. It's like, you guys ever play the card game Werewolf?
Yeah. I've seen other people play it.
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, it's a lot like, what theirs is called is like Werewolves at Midnight or something like that. And it's basically you wear the VR thing and you sit around. And you basically play the game Werewolf with people on the internet.
That's cool. Now, that's kind of a neat...
And I guess it has, like, weird little functions in it, like, because you can, like, lean into, like, the person who's sitting next to you.
Stay on mic there, bud.
Yeah, I know. But they call it, like, their whisper function. And if you, like, lean toward, like, someone you're sitting next to in this virtual room or whatever, you can talk to them and the other people can't hear you.
Oh, nice.
The HTC Vive 5. Has been revealed at $799.
Oh, we were both wrong.
Which is $200 more than the Oculus Rift.
Wow. Jeez. That's insane. Yeah, no way. Not in a million years. Nope.
They did announce the price for the PlayStation 4 one, but maybe we can hit that in a news topic.
Yeah, we could do that. Okay, yeah, let's do some more check it outs.
I saw Zootopia.
Yeah, how was it?
The other day. It was really good. I mean... perfectly good, like almost flawless. I can't think of anything
really,
you know, wrong with it.
I really, really want to see it.
It was, and I expected it to be from the trailer, just be generic animal movie. It's way more than that. It's got way more going on than that.
Oh, good. Yeah, I was kind of worried about that one.
There's a great like message about stereotypes and race relations, and like it goes into a little, it's a little deeper than you'd expect from a children's animated animal furry movie.
Well, it is a Disney movie.
Yeah, that's awesome. Now, is it a Disney animated or is it a Pixar?
It's Disney.
Okay.
I did read somewhere that I guess the original script was supposed to be a little darker and not quite as interesting, I guess.
I can see that, because, I mean, it goes surprising places. Like, seriously.
Really?
There's a lot going on. I don't really want to spoil it, because it does go somewhere you don't see it going.
Okay, yeah. I mean, don't spoil it, because it's brand new. Yeah. But, yeah. Interesting.
I mean, it starts off just as a super optimistic bunny that wants to be a cop.
But she's a little tiny bunny.
Yeah, and also there's never been a bunny cop before. And, you know, through sheer force of will and kind of an affirmative action bunny thing, she becomes a police officer and hijinks ensue.
Huh, interesting.
And the little Zootopia world they've created is so interestingly designed, and like it's in different boroughs that are like different climates for different animals.
Oh, okay.
And, like, It's kind of like people always go on about how the world of cars is so well realized to be a car world when really it isn't. It's just kind of thrown together without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
This world is actually well realized, I think.
Cool.
There's a part where she gets in a chase with a criminal that stole something from a store, and she ends up running into Little Rodentia, which is like a little burrow for rats, tiny rats and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's like this big... rabbit running through the tiny little burrow chasing a weasel and like all the tiny rats. It turns into, you know, Godzilla.
That's awesome.
It's a really great movie, like to the point where I can't think of anything inherently negative to say about it, but I also like didn't super love it either.
Okay.
Like it's so good it comes off as just kind of like there. I don't know how to put it, but it's like I didn't super love it, but also I can't think of anything inherently wrong with it.
Okay, cool. You know what? That wasn't one that I was going to... I wasn't going to check that one out, but
yeah.
I think I might have to
make a trip. I was going to pass on it, too, till I saw it has like a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
And like I like animated movies, so if I see one that's reviewing that good, even if it didn't inherit...
Was it on your radar?
Yeah, now it is.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. I kind of planned on trying to see it this weekend.
I'm glad I went out to see it.
Yeah.
Other than that, I've been playing a little bit of this game called Shard Light. It's by Wadget Eye, who makes point-and-click adventure games that are a lot like the old ones back in the day.
Okay.
And it's definitely one of those. I mean, it doesn't do anything different, but it is set in, like, a post-apocalypse, which is it's kind of similar to, like, the Hunger Games is the biggest vibe I get from it. I think they're going for Fallout, but it feels more like the Hunger Games to me.
Okay, okay. I can see that. They're kind of similar a little bit.
So it's kind of got, like, a dystopian future kind of thing?
Yeah, and, like, there's a huge class divide. There's a aristocrat class and then everybody else struggling to survive.
All the dirt people.
Yeah. It's like after nuclear war and there's a disease going around called the green lung. And everybody's scrambling to get there's a vaccine. Okay. You gotta get the vaccine. I mean, it's pretty good. I mean, Wadget Eye always does really good point and click games. If you ever get the itch, yeah, to use inventory items on other inventory items. Any of their games will scratch that itch.
That's good.
Cool.
But, I mean, if you're specifically interested in the post-apocalypse setting, you know, this is a good one for that. A lot of the puzzles seemed a little obtuse to me. I've spent a lot of time just, like, walking back and forth between rooms trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do. So, I mean, it's not the best point-and-click I've ever played, but, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
Check it out.
Cool.
Well, aside the fact of being horribly sick, obviously.
Really? I couldn't tell.
I thought you were just going extra low this week.
Yeah. Getting that Barry White going.
How does that feel, baby? Oh, Austin Powers joke.
That's great.
You're welcome. Anyway. Something I forgot. I watched Big Hero 6 for the first time.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it was a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I cried like a big old baby. Even though I saw it coming a mile away.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are we allowed to spoil it? I mean, it's been out for a while.
It's been out long enough.
The old John Lasseter that's killed the big nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I saw it coming from, like, literally, like, the movie started. I'm like, you know what? Something's going to happen to him. Yeah. I just know it.
Things aren't going to end well for good old Baymax.
Yeah.
He's too lovable.
Yeah, but it's cool that he saved the chip, right? He saved the disc, so he can build another one.
Yeah, that was the thing. He's like, he's back. I mean, it's
the same Baymax.
Yeah.
It's just his body's gone.
Yeah,
you still had that, but I still had that emotional moment.
Oh sure. Did you stay past the credits?
Oh yeah.
Good.
Of course I did.
Yeah, got to get that Stan Lee cameo in there.
It's one of the best ones.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there and I'm like, I haven't seen Stan Lee this entire movie. I know he's in it. So I just let it roll, and I'm like, I wonder if there's something here at the end, because it's a pseudo-Marvel movie.
It is, yeah. Well, if they notice, that's Age of Ultron, when Tony Stark's armor doesn't have Jarvis in it anymore, because he's trapped in Vision, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
He's flipping through a bunch of discs to get a new AI, and one of them is Toyo Harada, which is the older brother.
I didn't see that.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's one of those labels. Like he flips through it real quick, but yeah, one of them.
I know Jocasta
him.
Was one of them too.
Jocasta was one, and that's kind of what he ends up picking, right?
Friday. He picked Friday.
Friday. Well, I think Friday ends up becoming Jocasta, or something.
I remember there was a disc literally labeled Jocasta.
Okay. Okay. Well, anyway, the point being. That guy's
the reference is in there. Yeah,
the reference is in there. So
it exists
least,
in the Marvel universe.
It might be like a parallel world.
Yeah, because San Francisco is France and Tokyo or whatever they call it.
San Fran Tokyo.
Yeah, which is an interesting world, and I get it because you know the real San Francisco does have a very high Japanese population.
Mm-hmm. And I understand why they had to take it outside of the main Marvel universe because the original comic it was Silver Samurai and his team. They were Big Hero 6.
The original comic
Silver
was like
Samurai as in like the villain?
As he was a good guy for a while and was
was a member of the Hand?
No, this was after. This was after he left the Hand. He was contracted by the Japanese government to lead a team of superheroes which were named after a lot of the characters in this movie in name only.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I love the characters in Big Hero 6.
Oh,
the
great.
Whole team is fantastic.
They're really great.
Yeah, everyone feels like a fleshed out like character.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really enjoyed it. And honestly, after I've watched it, I'm like really angry that Frozen beat it out.
Yeah.
Like I like Frozen. It's a decent animated movie. But as far as quality, Big Hero 6 is like leaps and bounds better.
Oh, there was way too many Frozen references in Zootopia.
Oh, there were really...
There was at least three.
Boy, you would think that the writers would just let it go.
Oh.
That was the joke that they made.
Perfect.
Oh, it's okay. The cold never bothered me anyway. But the flu...
This cold is bothering you.
But anyway. But no, I really, really enjoyed Big Hero 6. I'm glad I just kind of just went out and just bought it.
Good.
I think I own it too.
Yeah. I just like, you know what? I've never seen this movie. I've heard nothing but good things about it. I think it's worth a buy. I found it on Blu-ray and I was like, yoink.
Perfect.
You know, it just does a lot of good things. I mean, there was like, you know, stuff about, you know, grief and loss and mm-hmm. just all kinds of amazing
oh,
things.
Oh, yeah. It gets super sad there for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
It goes Pixar on you pretty bad.
Sure.
It really does. And it just shows like how far Disney's come.
Mm-hmm.
Like, A, they've learned from their little baby little baby bundle, their Pixar, mm-hmm. on how to make a feel story.
Yeah.
Well, John Lasseter is basically in control of everything at Disney now.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's good at what he does.
Yeah. Although he has a definite formula that I think is starting to show.
A little bit. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Which is why Pixar has been kind of having trouble lately. I think they realize.
Uh-huh.
They've been kind of floundering around trying to find something new that works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Although Inside Out was really good, but it still wasn't the same kind of magic that, like, Toy Story.
Right.
Well, I think as successful as Pixar's been, I think it's a little hard to capture lightning in a bottle that many times.
Yeah, it's amazing they've done it as many times as they have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I will always go see a Pixar movie.
Oh, sure.
Every time.
Yeah, they have my money forever.
But... Although I didn't go see the dinosaur one because it didn't look good to me.
Oh, the good dinosaur?
Yeah.
I've heard it's all right.
I'll be honest, I wasn't super impressed with Up.
I liked Up. Well...
I like portions of Up. Like, for the most part, the story's actually kind of dry.
Yeah, the story's really generic.
Like, the first, you know, 12 minutes or whatever it is for that opening part.
Oh, that crushes everybody.
Oh, yeah.
You get all the sads out in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. That part is great. Beyond that, I didn't care for the main characters really at all.
And it kind of has like this really turdy, like a kid needs a father to be normal message.
Yeah.
That's not great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I want to go to a movie to enjoy and have fun. I mean, being smacked in the face with super, super sad times right off the bat. I mean, it kind of throws the whole tone of the movie out of whack a little bit for me.
Yeah.
But that's just me. I'm weird.
No, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
I want to go not think about sad things while I'm watching a movie. I don't want to get smacked in the face with, you know, the death of a loved one right off the bat.
You know, in super realistic, you know, life problems.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of really lazy dog humor that anybody could have written.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, like this has been Pixar Chat.
Like that Secret Life of Pets movie. It looks like a bunch of lazy.
Well, that's made
humor.
That's made by the Illumination people.
Yeah,
so, you know,
so it's gonna be
lazy writing. Hey, I really like Despicable Me.
It's all right.
The first one's really good. The second one I wasn't super super thrilled by, but
the second
one's good.
The second one's okay. I mean, it's not as good.
Yeah.
And Minions movie, I've never heard anything good about it.
I've seen a good chunk of it, and it was absolutely so middle of the road that it made me feel nothing.
Well, my parents liked it.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it wasn't bad, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't funny, but it was there.
It was just there.
Yeah, it was just there, and things happen.
Yeah. Well, speaking of things that are just there, we're glad that you're here. We're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about some news.
Woo.
Nerd Overload is sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.
Hi, my name is Robert.
Hi, my name is Amber.
Hi, my name is Jessica.
I'm Jimmy, and I work at Creative Foundations,
the store that employs people with developmental disabilities.
We have four locations:
Delaware, Mount Vernon, Marysville, and Urbana.
Our website is creativefoundations.org.
Find us on Facebook.
Hey, we're back. That was Everybody Wants to Rule the World, another one off of Ninja Sex Party's Under the Covers cover album.
Yeah, really good album.
Yeah, because like we said, we always wanted to play songs from them.
And now we can.
And now we can, so you're going to get two.
Yep. Okay, so we have a little bit of news here. Let's start with Indiana Jones 5. What do you guys think of that?
Boo.
I don't want it. I just don't. Like, I don't feel angry about it.
Yeah?
I just am like, no, I don't want it.
You are feeling exactly how I felt when they first announced the Ghostbusters. Three, like
apathy?
Yeah, just, it's going to happen, and I'm sure it's going to be fine, but I don't. Can't at the any... time, I was like, I don't want it.
Yeah, I just.
I think everything that's needed to be said has been said. We don't need it, but.
Can't be any worse than Crystal Skull.
Yeah, and I'm not even leaning on how bad Crystal Skull was.
Because this is done by Disney now, so I mean it's gonna be good.
Yeah.
Whatever they do, they're not gonna put out a bad project.
I'm just surprised Harrison Ford's doing it.
Yeah, I thought he was done.
Yeah. Well, it might be another one of those you have to kill me in the third act.
Or maybe just kind of a passing the torch kind of thing. Like they attempted to do with Crystal Skull, but failed horribly.
Mutt Williams.
Oh god.
No, 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 no.
Luckily, Shia LaBeouf isn't famous anymore.
He's not famous anymore. Yeah, he's too busy doing his performance art.
Hey, whatever makes you happy, I guess.
Yeah, it's true.
Well, I mean, yeah, when you're already rich and you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, might as well.
You know, dig yourself out of that hole.
Yeah. So what...
There you go. Yeah. There you go.
Or there's Holes.
Yeah. Actually, Holes is a good movie.
Yeah, it is.
I like that
a good
one a
book,
lot.
Too. I read that
I've
book.
Never actually, I've never kid. Actually seen it.
It's good.
Or read it.
Yeah. What era would Indiana Jones 5 be? Because it's going to be old Indy.
Well, yeah.
Well, let's see. The last one was what?
The 50s.
The 50s? Yeah.
And that was
almost 10 years ago. So probably the 60s.
Wow. Swinging 60s.
Wow.
Old man Indiana Jones. Can you imagine?
That doesn't sound good at all.
No.
No.
Is he just going to be grumpy at hippies for 2 hours?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Who's he going to fight this time?
The...
Soviets?
Russia.
He already fought the Russians.
You're thinking of Rocky.
No, I'm serious. He fought Soviets.
He only fought one Russian.
That's true.
Yeah, and by the end of the movie, they all cheered for him.
Oh,
so.
He single-handedly...
Ended the Cold War.
Ended the Cold War with his fists.
If you can change, and I can change, and everybody can change...
Now
tear down this wall, and then he punches right through the Berlin Wall.
he tore some holes in that iron curtain.
And then Polly's robot wheels through the hole that he's made and goes, great, thumbs up, great job.
Oh, my God.
Credits.
Polly's juice.
Hollywood, hire us. We're gold.
Well, no, it's going to be fine.
But that's Rocky
Indiana's.
3, right?
It's Rocky 4.
Rocky 4. So we just kind of wrote the epilogue to Rocky 4.
We just kind of did. Yeah. It's the after credits scene.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know, man. I really don't want any more Indiana Jones. Like, I love the character and I love the franchise. I'm just let it go.
Yeah. We already have good Indiana Jones and a bad one.
Two bad
and even
ones.
No. Yeah, the second one isn't great.
It's not great, but it's
not a
terrible
Doom.
I don't even like Crystal Skull is bad, but it's not even that. It's a salvageable movie.
Yeah,
like it's not a hot piece of garbage. It's not a Star Wars prequel. Like,
no.
So just
it's got its moments though.
Yeah, I mean we got our not great reboot. Like it's done. Just let it be.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Indy gets married at the end to freaking
oh, that's right.
Marilyn.
He's married now.
Marion Ravenwood?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Are they going to get Karen Allen to come back? I always liked her.
Yeah, that'd be kind of cool.
Oh, man.
I was glad they got her back for Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
They're going to get a divorce or something.
Oh, sure.
He's got to be the roguish guy that Harrison Ford is.
Yeah.
Like, and that's lame.
And then he'll get killed by his son.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, he'll get murdered in the third act, and, you know, someone else will take up the mantle of
by
Indiana Jones.
His neo-Nazi son.
You're the Indiana Jones now, dog. The ghost of
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery comes back.
Henry Jones?
You're the hunter now, dog.
Oh, man, what if they did, like, pass the torch off to, like, a female Indiana Jones?
Female Indiana Jones?
Yeah.
You mean Lara Croft?
Basically.
Yeah.
Basically.
Daisy Ridley?
Yes!
That's a news thing we can touch on that I forgot about.
Yeah, let's roll right into that, yeah.
Yeah, Daisy Ridley's on the hot list to play Lara Croft in a new Tomb Raider movie based on the games.
Sure, why not?
I love her. Put her in all the things.
That's fantastic casting. I mean, the Lara Croft in the new games almost kind of looks like her anyway.
Yeah.
I really like the new Tomb Raider games. They're really, really good, and they're really solid.
Yeah, but I don't like this new, like, human Lara Croft. Like, like, I don't want to watch her struggle to do things and get beat up by stuff. I like the
super competent.
Yeah, like the super ridiculous Lara Croft that does everything perfect. And
yeah,
not when I played.
It falls off cliffs all the time.
Pretty much. Oh, there's a spike trap. You've been killed by the spike trap like 10 times in a row.
Yeah,
I can't still forget how to get past it.
But I like the ridiculous badass Lara Croft, not the...
Well, maybe we'll eventually get there. I mean, the first Tomb Raider game was basically she was just fresh out of, like, college. Yeah, she hadn't really had any adventuring.
But another one came out, and they're still doing that.
I haven't played that one yet.
I haven't either, but from what I've seen, it looks like more of the same.
Mm.
Either way, Daisy Ridley, Lara Croft, it will be great.
Yeah.
She's a good actress.
This is about what I think of the new games. Well, I mean, which game-wise are great. The games are great, but I miss competent Lara Croft.
Right.
Almost like James Bond-esque Lara Croft, where, like, nothing touches her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, like, almost superhero-esque Lara Croft.
Yeah.
Like,
I always liked like that in the Tomb Raider stuff, like that that quasi like supernatural thing you always get like at the end where you're like artifact possible magic.
Yeah. That's a very Indiana Jones.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I love her, and I, you know, do more things for Daisy Ridley. You know, boost her career, put her in all my stuff.
Make sure she's not stuck as a Star Wars forever.
Yeah, that's really what she's got to worry about.
Yeah.
But getting back on this Indiana Jones, I'm all right with it. Let it happen. I mean, why not?
Yeah, we can't stop it. And we've known it was going to be a severe possibility, like the day Disney bought Lucas.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not mad about it, but not happy.
I would rather them do, if they have to do Indiana Jones 5 or make a sequel to it, I'd rather them keep Harrison Ford in it than try to recast and go young Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be...
it was a Lord and Miller young Indy. I'd watch that.
Yeah, but I mean, this is... If it has to happen, this is probably the best way for it to happen. So
yeah.
I mean, I still think it's going to be a passing the torch story.
Sure. Oh, it has to be.
I mean, given the age of Harrison Ford now.
Yeah.
But, like, Indiana Jones is so much about him that passing a torch to another character just seems stupid.
Unless he's, like, Indiana Jones and the Fountain of Youth. And they, by the end of the movie, roll him back and get, like, Dave Franco in there. Like, can you imagine? That would actually work, I think.
Like, they'll CG youngify him like they did freaking Jeff Bridges?
No, I mean,
Bridges.
He walks into the fountain and walks back out a younger actor that looks kind of like Harrison Ford.
It would almost work.
Yeah, that would be the way... To keep the series alive with Indiana Jones and not have to do prequels.
Yeah.
Because it's not like Star Wars where there's this vast universe of lore to draw from.
Yeah.
It's just adventure stories about this one dude.
Yeah, and magic is very much a part of his universe.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen...
The Ark.
We've seen the Grail. The Grail.
We've seen aliens.
Crystal-headed aliens. Yeah.
We've seen dudes rip dudes' hearts out of their chests.
Dan Aykroyd's crystal head vodka.
I don't know. I mean, I'll still watch it.
Oh, sure.
Oh, yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
I mean, I might be angry now, but, you know, maybe we'll get a good trailer. Maybe I won't be so angry anymore.
Well, I tell you what I won't be watching after seeing the trailer, Sausage Party, the new animated film by Seth Rogen and his friends.
And his buddies.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks so bad.
It looks rough.
The trailer has no jokes in it.
Not really. The joke is, well, the premise of the movie is food are alive.
Sentient.
Sentient food. They don't know that their goal is to be eaten.
By people.
So they all of a sudden... They're taken home from the grocery store thinking they're going to meet their god and then are all chopped up and
cooked
and they're screaming and it's like super violent for it being food. It's weird. I don't like it.
Yeah, like when she grabs the baby carrots and like crunching around in her mouth, and you can see inside her mouth and she's like just crunching them up.
Yeah.
Like the whole thing comes, apparently Seth Rogen thought, I want to take a pot shots at Pixar because nobody takes pot shots at Pixar.
Yeah, it's we should say it's CG animated. Yeah. So it looks like a Pixar movie.
The way it opens, like it seems like it could be a kid's movie.
Yeah. No, it's not a kid's movie. It's a hard R.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like super hard R.
Yeah.
And one of those things where it eschews actual humor and replaces it with just being
vulgarity.
Vulgar.
Yeah, isn't the script up on WikiLeaks or something like that?
Yeah, apparently the whole script got leaked onto WikiLeaks.
Yeah, didn't you have
I have a list of some of the things that happened in the movie, apparently. So if you wanted to see this movie...
We're about to ruin it for you.
Yeah, yeah. If you did, you're human garbage.
Stop what you're doing, because we're about to ruin
spoiler alert party for Sausage Party for a movie that's not even out yet.
Yeah.
That looks like garbage.
Sausage in bun jokes are drawn out for pages at a time.
Yeah. Okay.
An important character's name is Camille Toe, which is not even a food joke.
No, that's not.
I'm going to skip some of these because of radio.
Yeah. A lot of vulgar words being used. Yeah. A lot of not safe for radio words being thrown around
they
liberally.
Drop the F-bomb at least 112 times.
Wow.
Which is also more pages than there are in the script.
I mean, that sounds about par for the course for a Seth Rogen movie.
Yeah, it does. Or a Kevin Smith movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he is somehow attached to this as well. just because that's just kind of how it sounds.
It seems like one of his
half-baked ideas
that he had during a podcast.
Yeah.
And he was also half-baked when he came up with it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, this just doesn't look good.
No,
just doesn't look good.
Why?
Apparently, he's been trying to get it made for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah, I read that the other day, too. And it's like, it took you 10 years because it's so bad, nobody wanted to touch it.
Yeah. This almost sounds kind of like that movie Food Fight. Yeah. That really terrible direct-to-video one with Charlie Sheen as, like, the mascots for foods.
I've never seen that.
It's bad.
Oh, my God.
It's bad, dude. It's one of the worst. Yeah.
Ugh.
There's a JonTron episode about it. You should just watch that.
Yeah, that's all you really need. But real bad.
It is. It's just dumbfounding that it even happened. And it sucks so much that Seth Rogen probably got paid $1 billion.
Oh, he made a ton of money.
Just to come up with this concept that anybody could have farted out in 2 minutes.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the cinematic equivalent of a fart, I think.
I don't know. I kind of want to see... It came out like around Halloweenish time. It was a claymation movie.
Oh, that Hell and Back?
Yeah.
It's already on Netflix.
Is it?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I heard it's real bad. Like,
what, I mean, it looked bad.
I'm sorry, which one was this? I don't remember this.
It's called Hell and Back, and it's where a couple of friends are like hanging out or whatever and accidentally open a portal to hell or something, and one of their friends gets dragged in.
I think it's by the Robot Chicken people.
Okay.
Stupid Monkey.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
I mean, I thought it looked kind of funny. I kind of wanted to see it.
Well,
it'll
Netflix,
probably be garbage.
I mean, it's already...
Boom, there.
Yeah,
why
you're
not
out anything. Yeah. Except time.
Yeah.
Like that Wolf Cop movie.
Wolf Cop was great, though.
I wanted to watch Wolf Cop. I need to watch
You need to watch Wolf Cop. I mean, it's terrible. It's like a trauma movie, but it's great.
I love trauma movies that are terrible.
Yeah.
it's kind of the point of those.
Yeah. I've been seeing... Trauma's really been pushing one of their newest movies, The BC Butcher.
I've been seeing tweets about
that. It was directed by some 16-year-old girl or something like
really?
That.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And it's like, it's like a caveman serial killer.
Yeah, horror comedy serial killer movie set in caveman times.
Dude. Okay.
Yeah, co-starring Cato Kaelin of the O.J. Simpson trial fame.
It's like that Ringo Starr movie, but with murder.
Yeah, kind of. But no, I've been seeing a lot about that. That looks kind of interesting. I'm always willing to give Uncle Lloyd a little bit of time.
Definitely.
I want him on the show.
I would love to get him on the show. He would take up an hour.
Yeah.
We would just pretty much just have to turn the mics on and just let him go for an hour. Actually, kind of great.
And we need to get a guest that we just have sit in through the whole thing and just talk like the rest of us. That'd
I agree.
Fun.
I agree. Well, as soon as we all meet some celebrities, invite them into my home.
That don't want like $250.
Yeah, at least. Anyway, that's
a different discussion for a different day.
We're getting a little inside baseball here.
Yeah, it's an off mic discussion. Okay, we can do this one as a quick hit, real quick. Street Fighter V. We talked about it a few weeks ago. We're going to be talking about it here, hopefully coming up in the next couple of weeks on a little secret project we're working on. But one thing we've discussed was the story mode. It's not super great. And
it's also not super hard.
Oh, it's super easy. In fact, there's a video of a guy's one and a half.
It's like a
six-month-old.
It's like a literal baby.
Mm-hmm. Who played through and beat the story mode for a character named Birdie just by
slapping
the a fight stick.
Like a baby would.
Like a baby would, yeah.
And I mean, fight sticks are basically like those little toy, little activity centers that babies have.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, went through it and actually got some pretty sweet combos. That baby is almost Evo ready, I tell you what.
Baby ain't no scrub.
Watch out, Daigo. This baby coming for you.
Hey, if this baby starts now, can you imagine how good this baby's going to be? When?
Oh, sure. Yeah.
It's like a Tiger Woods phenom for Street Fighter. I mean, yeah, you seriously beat a fight just hitting the light jab button.
Oh, I did. Yeah. In that one video, we kind of did, but didn't turn out quite super great.
It was, yes. it was a dry run.
Yeah, it was a dry run. But yeah, it's just funny.
It says a lot about how much time Capcom put into that story mode. Yeah, that a baby can finish.
They really didn't. They really kind of dropped the ball on that one. Well, the game wasn't finished when they put it out. That's what the problem was.
Yep. I hate that. I mean, that's like my biggest gripe with like games nowadays.
Yeah, it keeps happening.
I know. It's frustrating. What happened to, you know, taking pride in the quality of your product?
Well, it's because they want the product to be evergreen, so they'll release DLC every month for the next couple of years.
Yeah, which is a trend I hate.
Yeah, it's games as a service type
of thing. Yeah, it takes the fun out of it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with games as a service as long as the game is done initially.
Well,
or at least there's enough content to make you feel like you got your money's worth.
Well, by the end of this month, it will be.
Well, yes.
Because we're going to be getting a bunch of... Well, we're not getting the full story mode this time around, but we're getting another character. We're getting a lot of balance corrections and a couple other modes. In fact, they haven't released a trailer for it yet, but they've released promo images and a description of the new character, Alex, who is a Third Strike character.
Yeah.
Looks good. Actually looks pretty solid. His special... B trigger gives a if you get it to wind up the whole way, it will give him one hit of invincibility. Like the next hit he takes, no matter what it is, will not do damage.
Oh, that's
so he
cool.
can just like dash through an attack and go at you,
that's
which
good.
Is cool.
Yeah,
I mean game as a service can be done well. Splatoon is the best one I can
Splatoon
think of.
Was done really
but
well.
But also all Splatoon's DLC was free.
Well, yeah. So is Street Fighter's.
Oh man.
Well, it's free if you play enough. Everything you buy is through fight money, which you can get naturally by playing the game over and over and over in online matches, or you can pay with real money to get fight money. So if you just want to unlock everything, you can just, if you don't want to wait around or
just
you don't
dump
want
the money in
you
it.
Don't want to get good.
Scrub.
Yeah.
Learn those pro strats.
Yeah. Link those combos.
Awesome games done quick.
Yeah. No, there's actually a Let's Play group that started doing Twitch stuff, and they're, you know what, I actually can't say this on air, so I'm going to cut that out, but it's their stream is called Games Done Slow. The first game they played was Mind Jack. Have you ever heard that one?
No.
I've heard of Mind Jack.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's like you're a ball of energy, and you jump into other people's bodies, and continue your fights until your body is dead, and then you jump into another body. And they played it and accidentally got the world record completed in 5 hours. Like they were supposed to be playing it slow and bad, and they ended up getting the world record and beating it by like an hour.
So they couldn't even do it slow.
Yeah, they couldn't even play the game slow. It was kind of great.
Leave that in, but bleep it out.
Oh, sure.
It was funny.
Yeah, I will do that. I
wish we would have came up with that name.
Yeah, that's a really good name.
Clever.
Yeah. Okay, I think we have time for one or two more news deals real quick. I can blow through this one in about a minute, and then we can get on to the... there's like a
the Game Developers the game Conference
yeah.
Awards.
Yeah, but let me do this one real quick. Sally Field was on the Howard Stern Show a week or two ago. And in discussion, started talking about the Amazing Spider-Man movie because Howard Stern is a comic book guy. He loves comics. And she did not care for being on that film set at all. She said she did it only as a favor to one of the casting directors.
Who was a very good friend of hers.
Who was a very good friend of hers. Said that it was a very tedious. Loves Andrew Garfield. Loves the whole cast. You know, nothing bad about the cast. But the character of Aunt May, she hated with a passion. She could not find anything in the character to make it three-dimensional. Well, which kind of makes...
It's Aunt May.
It's Aunt... Yeah.
I mean, would you want to play Aunt May in a movie? Like,
no, that's true.
Unless I'm marrying Dr. Octopus,
that'd be that. Then yes,
or the Mole Man,
or that time she was a Herald of Galactus.
Yeah, yeah,
with her like walker that she flew around space with.
Or if they did the Spider Island story arc,
yeah,
where everyone in Manhattan got spider powers.
Or when she was a 20-year-old super spy. Oh wait, no, that was a terrible comic.
No,
that was a real bad one.
Oh, though, speaking of characters that are getting weird things, you see they might be doing a like an Alfred, either, I don't know if it's a series or a movie or something, but it's like Alfred before he becomes the Wayne Butler.
Well, I mean, there's some interesting stuff. It would be a military movie.
Yeah.
Because that was his background. He was in the USO or the British version of the USO acting troupe, but was also a secret super spy for the British intelligence, for MI5 or MI6 or whatever. Yeah. Whatever it was.
Yeah.
So the one
that's not
be...
the one that's not James Bond.
Right. Yeah. So I mean that could be interesting. Alfred without any of the Batman anything stuff. Is just generic spy.
It's
just
there's so many other places they could go to make a spinoff superhero spinoff.
Or if they wanted to tell that story, just take Alfred's name out of it and make it an its own thing.
Yeah, they did that. It was called The Kingsman.
Kingsman. That was a bad one. Bad movie. Anyway.
I've heard it's good. Is it not good?
It's not good.
Not good?
I don't know. Everyone I talked to, except for you, likes it.
Yeah, I didn't care for it. Anyway, let's get on with the game stuff real quick.
Yeah, Game Developers Conference was last weekend. I don't know. It might still be going on.
I think it's still going on.
Still going on where all the game developers meet up, have their own
little party.
Expo. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they have an award show. They do the Game Developers, is it Choice Awards?
Something like that. Yeah.
Game Developers Choice Award.
The overall big winner was The Witcher 3, which
sure
is incapable of not winning an award, apparently.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's a really great game. So, I mean, I can see why it got it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I'm trying to think of anything else to say about The Witcher. I don't really have anything.
That you haven't said before.
Yeah. Her Story picked up a bunch of awards, which is great because that game is great.
Yeah, we talked about it on the show a few weeks ago, didn't we?
Yeah, because I just recently played it.
Right.
Definitely check that out. Also, Rocket League won an award for best design, which, I mean...
It looks cool. It makes me want to play it.
Everybody likes it except for me, but it might be too sportsy for me. I don't know.
Ah, there we go.
I mean, I love the way the car controls. Like the rocketness of it, and it's completely like innovative and interesting.
It's in a
driving
league of its own.
Yeah. I just don't like the gameplay of chasing the ball around and like desperately trying to hit it toward a goal and just like going back and
forth.
So
you like the driving, you don't like the soccer
portion
of it. Probably the same reason you probably wouldn't care for Blast Ball from Federation Force. Blast Ball.
Undertale was nominated for Best Narrative, I think. Yeah, but Her Story won it, which, I mean, they're both well-written games.
Yeah, although I will say, I haven't had much of a reason to want to go back to Undertale. It's like I played it, and it's done, and I don't want to really go back to it.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's an RPG, and you don't usually go back to those till after a long time has passed.
True. Plus, the fandom around it is just still real kind of toxic, I think.
It's just kind of tiring to still hear about it.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I don't listen to fandoms anymore. I don't want to let them ruin things that I like.
I try not to, but sometimes.
The internet culture, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, best visual art. Ori and the Blind Forest won it, which I've heard is really neat.
Oh, it looks like a beautiful game. I was super excited when I saw the first stuff about it. I also heard it's incredibly sad.
But Splatoon was nominated, and Splatoon is a great-looking game.
It is a very, very cool-looking
game. Yeah, I can't say enough about how cool Splatoon looks.
Sure.
Other than design, remember that. Best debut, Toby Fox's name is just in there. It's like a bunch of studios and then Undertale's Toby Fox. That's what I like most about Undertale, I think. It's like just some guy just made it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Just one dude sat there and made a game and everybody likes it. Mm-hmm. I don't know. A lot of awards. A lot of people won awards.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Woo, Game Awards. Yeah.
Witcher was overall, but that's an easy pick.
Yeah.
They didn't strain themselves on that one.
I think that wraps it up for this week. Thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to Nerd Overload. You can find us each and every day over at nerdoverload.com.
You can also find us at Facebook at facebook.com/nerdoverload website.
You can send us an email at staff@nerdoverload.com or tweet us a tweet at @nerd_overload, either one.
Yep.
Then we've got some, you know, new stuff in the works for the website.
Sure.
So look out for that.
Yeah, keep checking that out.
I don't want to get too elaborate, but we're planning things.
Yes. Yeah, so see you next week.
Peace out.
This show was sponsored in part by Creative Foundations.